started. People of stature do not need to have status. This is instant illumination, instant inspiration, and instant Herb. This is Herbert Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California. People of stature do not need to have status. What does stature mean? Stature means that you believe in yourself. You have self-confidence. You have self-worth. You don't need somebody to pat you on the back to tell you you're good. You come in from having done a beautiful race. You ran the race and you won, let's say, you know? And so then the crowd goes, good show, good show. You needed that. You needed them to say you won. I mean, having won in itself is stature. And no one can compliment stature. No one can add to that. See, status is what you're given by a pat on the back. Stature is what you're given by your own competence and your own capability and your own achievement of whatever it is you're doing. Now, let's pay attention to this here. People of stature. How many people do you know who have stature? Unfortunately, not too many. Because most people need to have applause. Even great speakers like applause. Now, we look at Billy Graham, and as excellent a man as he is, and as marvelous a show that he puts on, he's putting on a show because he wants applause. Jesus put on a show because he wants, oh, Jesus too? You betcha. He put on a show because he wants applause. Now, Ellen, how many masters do you know who are really masters? None. Because they don't put on a show. They don't tell you they're a master. They just live their beautiful life, and you look at them and you say, wow, they're cool, they're great, you know. But they don't say, I am a master. I have accomplished this. I can walk on water. If they walk on water, they do it for themselves. If they raise the dead, they do it for themselves. If they heal the sick, they do it for themselves. If they do anything. Even Jesus got to that point later on. And he told people, you know, what wouldst thou of me? Because they were hanging on him. And then finally he said, look, I enjoyed being the showman for a while, but now I must go so the comforter can come. And of course he made a rather dramatic exit. But people of stature do not need status. Now, in truth, Jesus had status and he had stature. He had everything. But what do we have? Do you need to have people say, that was a nice talk you gave? Or do you just feel good inside of yourself when you give a talk?
Yeah.
You just feel, hey, that was nice. I like my talk. I like my talk. Have you ever felt that way?
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you feel you like your talk, then that's all that matters. Then if someone comes along and gives you a critique on your talk, it doesn't bother you. You liked your talk, and you do want to improve. That's why you gave the talk. Otherwise, you'd talk it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my best talks, I guarantee you. Some of my best talks I gave as I'm walking on the path by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to the sky and the clouds and the birds and the trees and the chestnut trees. And it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But my talk, I said, oh, I wish I had recorded that, but I'm glad it didn't. Because it was just for me. It was stupendous. But I don't even tell you what it's all about. Because it was for me.
Keeping it all for
myself. But you see, this is what a master consciousness does. I'm not trying to say I am a master consciousness, although I am saying I am. But everybody is. But to be a master consciousness, you don't need applause.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need credit. Now here comes a big one, a very big kick right in the rear end. A master consciousness doesn't need to be paid for what he does. You say, well, how does he live? Well, a master consciousness thinks abundance, lives in abundance, thinks the house, lives in the house. It's just like I tell you this little simple illustration. When I went to Europe, my first time to speak in the various seminars, Kurt Schweigart, he says, Herb, I got a car for you. So I had an 850 SL at home, and he had a 450 SL over there for me. And it was for me to drive all over Europe. And he went with me, and he paid for the gas, and he paid for the dinners, and he paid for everything. It was great. I'm sure he got a great benefit from it, because he did it often. But the point is, I didn't need to pay it. all I did was just go there and share who I was. Mm-hmm. And it worked out beautifully. Now, what would I do for money? What would I do for food? What would I do for anything? You know? If we needed food enough, we'd manifest it. We'd manifest it. Because we're here to live. We're not here to die. We're here to live a beautiful life. And as we live a beautiful life, we create in our life all the things that we need. Because you really do. Now, if you think you have to earn a living, then you got to earn a living. If you think you got a rich papa, then you got a rich papa. And if you think that the government owes you a living and you're going to live on Social Security and welfare and stuff like that, then that's what you got, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not living high on the hog. Sometimes a papa and your job are high on the hog, but welfare is just living marginal. Now, how does that work for you? How does that work for you that you live marginal when you have the abundance of the universe at your beck and call merely by speaking your word? And of course, if you speak your word and you say that my job pays me, well then you're limited to whatever you can conceive your job paying. Some guys paid $30 million a year on their job, you know, and more. Some guys even get $1 billion a year. And Bill Gates, my goodness, what does he get? But you understand? And they don't think money. They think the usefulness. They think whatever they're going to do with it. And it just piles and piles and piles. But when they worry about money, there's a certain flow that they cut off right inside themselves, and the money can't come to them. It doesn't know how to arrive at their bank. It seems to get waylaid along the way. But this is true for all of us. When we have stature, we don't need status. Now, status is having your name in who's who. Status is being addressed doctor and missus and president and all these other good things. Status is useless because it's here today, gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody comes up to me and says, "You got a woman up there at the monastery that really is wonderful." That's what, who's that? Well, I don't know. She just talks up a storm, and she's just so filled with talk about the teaching that you do there. I said, well, is that Sylvia? No. Is it Ingeborg? No. Is it Ellen? No. Is it Love? No. Button, you know? Is it the cats? No. Oh, Anita. Yeah, that's the one. Every time I talk to her, she's just bubbling away and talking about this stuff and talking about this stuff. You must have a wonderful organization. You must have a wonderful teaching. Because everything she says is so wonderful. Well, how did you know that she was here? Well, I saw it on her business card. No, that's status. Stature. Status. And so, well, how would she know? Oh, yeah. When I asked her what she believed, she gave me a gist. Okay. And so, that's how I knew. And I want to know more about you guys, because that sounds fascinating. Now, every one of you thought I was going to say you. Every one of you thought I was going to say you were the one that oh, come on now, you were too. And as you thought this, you were looking for status. Mm-hmm. And you see, that's unfortunate. Because even when I'm talking about this very subject, and I'm telling you, don't look for credit, then you're looking for credit. And it is tough. Now, I could have taken anybody. I could have taken Dorothea. Now, wouldn't she be a good example? Mm-hmm. Yes, you betcha. And you could readily see that. And I could have taken, who else have we got out there? Irene and
Gertrude and Christina.
Monica and
Gregor. Just not a woman.
Cynthia. He's not a woman, no. Cynthia and Katerina. And, you know, a lot of people. A lot of beautiful women that have been here and are through here. And we could have taken Georgiana. Mm-hmm. And we could have taken many wonderful people. But, you see, if you ever are waiting for you to be named when the laurels are given, then you don't really have any status. You don't really have any stature. Because A person who knows who they are and believes in who they are, they don't need it. No. Everybody likes it. That's what we've been taught. Now, you get up and give a good show tonight so that everyone applauds and appreciates it, you know. You go out there and you make us proud of you, you know. You go do these things and go do those things. And what happens? If they don't, if they're not proud of themselves, all the applause in the world doesn't mean a thing. Faith used to give concerts. And when she'd give a concert, if she'd make one wrong note in the entire concert, she'd say, "I fooled, I bluffed, oh, what?" And you know, I said, "You didn't." I said, "You're the only one who knows where that mistake was, and I'm not asking you to tell me. You're the only one who knows." Now, don't, but she was so upset because she made a mistake. Now, was she playing for herself? No. Was she playing for the enjoyment of it? No. Was she playing because she wanted to be a perfectionist? Yes. She oftentimes says, "Herb, you're always a perfectionist. You're always a perfectionist." Well, it takes one to know one, doesn't it? But she was good. She was very good. And when she played very competently, very, very well. She was not a Paderewski. She was not Heifetz or anything like that. But the thing is, those people practiced every day for hours and hours. Those people learned how to put their heart and soul in the music. It's not just a matter of learning the music. It's a matter of putting your heart and soul. Then you have the wonderful stature that comes from performing in excellence. And people may applaud you off the stage, but it means nothing to you because you said, "I did it. I got it right that time. I did my best, and I'm happy about it." And that's all that matters, because the applause is an echo in your ear. It doesn't mean a thing. But if that means a thing, then you're looking for it. So I suggest to you and to all of us, people of stature do not need to have status. So if we're going to be people of stature, that means we're doing it for whom?
Fathers.
For ourselves.
Or for status.
If we're going to be people of stature, who are we doing it for?
For ourselves.
For ourselves. If we're people of status, who are we doing it for?
Others.
Others. Right. And if we're going to live our life doing it for others, it's a very steep roller coaster. Up here, down here. Because, you know, one day you're good, one day you're not good. And one day, you may give a concert. You may give your finest concert that you ever gave. And just before the concert, the audience was given the news that the President of the United States had died. Now, how do you think the audience is going to feel about your concert? Mm-hmm. They may love it, they may enjoy it, but they can't applaud.
Mm-hmm.
They can't applaud because they have just had such sad news that the leader of their nation had died.
Mm-hmm.
And their hearts were, oh, you know, it's unbelievable. Mm. Like when Kennedy was assassinated, when Roosevelt died, and various other people, you know. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. So don't look for that status. Just let your stature stand and be the most glorious thing about you. You're good and very good, and you don't need anybody to tell you how good you are. Have a wonderful evening, and I love you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.